I want to talk on a subject this morning that is a big subject. We're not going to be able to cover it in one deal because there are different ways you can preach it. No, there are different angles you can preach it. Let me put it that way. Not ways so much, but angles. And I'm probably going to cover about three of those angles this morning. And I want to start in John 3 and 16. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I want to talk about the love of God. Then we'll shift into some other angles on this as we get into the message. But what is the greatest, if you want to call it, love story you've ever heard? Maybe somebody you knew, maybe your parents, maybe your family, maybe friends. And it was just a beautiful love story, how they got together and they got married and they lived a number of years and they had a great marriage. And everything run real well. But there's a love story that's greater than that. And that is, "For God so loved the world." That's the love story that everybody needs to hear. All of us here, all around the world, they need to hear this story. For the simple reason, it's the love story of two you and I that will help you and I to get to heaven. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Now, it wasn't only that he loved us, but he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he's got a love story, but the main crux of this story was that he was willing to give, willing to open up, willing to do something for you and I to finish up a plan that he had had in place for many, many years. And everything now is beginning to come together, so to speak. And it's going to be something that's going to be a blessing to mankind for all eternity. But said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants you and I to have everlasting life. He wants you and I to have a life that is better than just any life. This is a life that goes beyond anything that I know of, any place, anywhere. All riches, all things that you and I could accumulate, all the things that we could know about, the jobs that we could have, it passes that up by many, many miles, so to speak. And he says here, everlasting life. He wants you and I to have everlasting life. Something that will be good for every one of us here today. So he's got a love story. His name is God. And he loved the world. And because of that love now then I ask you, have you ever lost a child? Have you ever lost a loved one? And the fact is, especially if it would be a child, thank you, ma'am, appreciate that. And we lost the twins, and it was tough on me. You know why? Because I wanted boys. I wanted a son. It didn't have to be boys. I just wanted a son. And I didn't get to have my son. And the bottom line is, the Lord gave his son. He was willing to give somebody to do something for you. The only way it could be accomplished was that he die a miserable, horrible, the most horrible death that a man could die at that time. He had to do that to finish everything up. Then he had to come up and be resurrected from the dead to finalize the whole thing, set it in place where you and I could have this plan that we could be saved and live for God. For God so loved the world. All right, let's go to 1 John 3. 1 John 3 and 1. He said here, "Behold, look at now what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. So he said here, behold. Behold means to look at, to study, to consider. What manner of love that we're talking about, that we're reading about this morning, the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called. Listen, folks, if we were let's put it this way. President Trump has children. President Biden had children. Different ones of the presidents has had children. That is a good place to be, so to speak, in the fact that they're put in a place of elegance, if you want to call it that. And they are able to have and do and be what other children are not. But this is even better than that. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called. The fact that we are called the sons of God. Listen, folks, he gives us a call. And then when we receive that call and do what we need to do in repentance and live for God, then we're called the sons of God, the highest calling in the world. There's not any calling that will even get close to this right here. Well, you don't understand, preacher. Yeah, I believe I do. The bottom line is, if we're called the Son of God, that puts us in a position of connection with the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, us, and then people are going, there's a child of God. That's a Son of God. That's a high calling, folks. Yes. That's the highest calling that we can have, to be called the Son of God. Thank the Lord tonight, or this morning, that we can have be called the sons of God. The world knows us not because it knew him not. They really don't know who we are in a sense because of the life we live. They wonder about it. They really don't know. But now we're the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be like. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, because of the connection, because of the salvation, because of being the sons of God, when he appears, when he calls this world into judgment, there's going to be a judgment one day. And there's some of us that might be here at that time. Some of us may be gone. But the bottom line, if we know him, doesn't that yet appear what we shall be like? But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, today, we're going to see the Son of God. We're going to deal with the Son of God. And he's going to take us on home, take us to heaven. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. In other words, we go as far as we can go. We do everything we can do to be exactly what he wants us to be. The love of God. That love is a great love. Now then, a minister among us many years ago wrote a definition of love that I have thought about and used many times down through the years. It said, true love will cause one to think more of what he can give than what he can get. Think more of what he can give. Now then, you say, well, I don't have much to give, but if we give what the Lord wants us to give, or what we can give to help somebody, the Lord will accept that. And that true love that we have, reaching out to people and helping people to see that there is a God, helping people to see there is a Savior, helping people to see that there's somebody that died for them and wants to help them and bless them. If we can help them to see that, we've helped them to see something great.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Titus 3 and 3 now. Titus 3 and 3. It said here, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's the world. We're living in a very hateful, envious, world today, hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now then, he said that but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. It appeared. It showed up. Not of what we were or what we've done, but according to his mercy. Now then, his mercy is a great mercy this morning. There's no mercy can get close to the mercy of God. And his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Oh, there's nothing better than this right here. I wanted to be a businessman, as I said. I wanted to have a big home. I wanted to have cars and pickups. I wanted to have a fine wife, fine children. I wanted all of that. But the Lord, when I turned it and gave it all over to him, he changed all of that. And I do have a home to live in. I do have cars to drive. I do have a little money in the bank. And I have a wife. I have children. I have grandchildren. I have all that. But you know what? He gave me a better deal than what I would have got if I'd have pushed for it. Yes. I was going to do it. But praise God, I found Jesus. I found him. Let's see, Jeremiah 31:3. We're not going to be in the Old Testament too awful much. But Jeremiah 31:3, he says here, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He said, I have loved thee with an everlasting. Everlasting, that's forever and ever and ever. Now there's people out there that fall in love, get married. Maybe you're married for several years. And something happens, and they don't love that person anymore, and they walk away. Jesus, God, has an everlasting love. An everlasting love that's going to be there to deal with you. Now, you can push him to where he will back off too. But as long as he's calling and you're responding some, the Lord wants to bless you with that everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Gentleness. He draws and calls people and works with people in many different ways. He helps them to see there's a better life. He helps them to see that I love you. Listen, folks, this everlasting love is the most beautiful love that you could ever see. Look at the love of God. Thank the Lord for that love. Appreciate that love. Say, Lord, I love you this morning. Because that everlasting love is a great love. Yes. It goes forever and ever and ever. It'll be with the people in heaven. It'll be with them all through eternity. Yes. And then that loving kindness. Oh, I like that loving kindness. It's drawn us. He was loving with me, he was gentle with me, but he was pointed with me. He let me know that you're not too young to die. He let me know that you can be ever so rich and I can take it away from you. He let me know that there's something better in the life of living for God than there is otherwise. So I chose the better. And I went after that. Now then, let's go to Romans. Let's get back. I think the rest of scriptures is in the New Testament. Romans, the 5th chapter, 5 and 5 of Romans. I love this reading right in here. 5 and 5 of Romans. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now listen to what this says. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his love, he should be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world.
And a person.
And it said so scarcely. But then it said, yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. Now somebody not quite as good as a righteous man, but yet they're a good person. And there's a chance here that somebody would die for them. Give their life for them. But then it says, but God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, what's that saying here? What's that saying? He's saying here that Christ died for everybody that nobody else would die for. Nobody would die for all these old sinners out there. I don't want to be too hard on people, but they wouldn't die for them. They wasn't interested in them. But then the Lord come along. He said, I'll die for them. I'll give my life and set up a plan that I can die for them and bring around a plan of salvation that'll be better than any other plan that's ever been put together. And I'll give them a call. If they don't respond after that call, I'll give them another call. If they don't respond to that call, I give them another call. Sometimes he works in close areas, so to speak, a month, 2 months, 3 months. I first went to Guthrie in May of 1971. That was the end of May. Well, from that point then, we started going to church up there and got to be friends with young people, and I started doing things for the young people and everything. And what was a blessing to me, as I look back on it, those young people was having an effect on me. Now, young people can have an effect on people. Older people, middle age, we can all have an effect on people. But I was thankful for the fact of the effect it was having. It was showing me that these people had something I didn't have. You know what that was? Happiness. My daddy had money. We weren't rich, but we had money. We lived in a 3,600-something square foot house. Had Lee Barons and nice cars and pickups and money in the bank. And about anything within reason that Dad could buy, we could have if we wanted it. But there's one thing I didn't really have, and that was peace and joy and happiness. I didn't really have that. I had the happiness in an extent, but not to the degree that these other young people had. And I watched them and I looked at them and I thought, they've got something, Carl, that you don't have, buddy. You don't have that peace. You don't have that joy. You don't have that happiness. You just don't have that. Finally, when I give up and surrender to the Lord on the 31st day of October of 1971, I found what I didn't have. Thank the Lord. I found that peace and that joy. I found that blessing that I didn't have, praise God. And part of it was because I watched those young people, middle-aged people. Listen, folks, we can live a life on people that'll make them look at us and say, they've got something I don't have. Yeah. That's what gets people's attention. So that's the type of life we want to live. And Jesus died for everybody that nobody else would die for. He died for them. He gave his life for them to bring about a plan of glory. That's love, folks. It ain't a little love. It's a great love, a mighty love, a powerful love. It's something that you and I need to get a hold of and have and enjoy. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to Mark. Mark, the 12th chapter, Mark 12. Mark 12 and 28 here. Mark 12 and 28. 12 and 28. And one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together. And perceiving that he had answered them well, and asked him, what is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all, the commandment says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and there is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said to him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And asked no man after that durst ask him any question. So, next is for you and I to love the Lord.
Yes.
To love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, everything, soul, mind, with all thy strength, this is the first commandment. The Lord thy God with all, not some of, not part of, but all. Listen, folks, today, this right here would turn this world around in a heartbeat if everybody would turn their love to God and love him with all of everything they had. He wants everything. He don't want part of it. He don't want some of it. He wants all of it, because that's the only way you and I can really serve him, is to give him everything. Love him. And love him in such a way that we would be willing to do what he asks us to do. Go where he wants us to go. I went one time in the gospel work. A sister out in Chattanooga, Tennessee, wanted me to come and preach to her. Now, folks, Oklahoma to Chattanooga is several hundred miles. 700, 800, I don't remember the exact mileage. And I never could seem to get it together till one day I was praying, and the Lord just opened it up to me and showed me what to do. I like it when he does that. And so after I got through praying, I got up and I went to the wives and said, Rebecca, yes? I said, I got it. So what you got? I told her. She said, let's go. Both of my wives had been very openly and giving when it comes to let's go. I appreciate that. But let's go. So I went all the way from Oklahoma to Chattanooga to preach to one soul in her house on the side of a mountain. I don't remember how many services we had, but it was a blessing to her. Evidently, because I was ready to finish everything up, and we was getting ready to leave, and I said something about it. She said, oh, Brother Carl, I could listen to you preach all day long. Woo! Well, thank the Lord. Listen, folks, it's something of a love that will cause us to do anything and everything that the Lord asks us to do. Whether it's big, middle, or little, he wants us to love him so much that when he says jump, we'll jump. Roll, we'll roll, or do what he wants us to do. Go where he wants us to go. Marry who he wants us to marry. He told me one time, had been looking around for a wife. This is in 1975. Been looking around, and I was had come back from a camp meeting, and Rebecca was there, and other girls was there, and I was thinking about these girls, and the Lord walked up to me, and he stood right here beside me, and he spoke where I could hear with these ears. And he said, if you're going to be a minister for me, he said, I want you to let me pick your companion. Okay. Now, that wasn't something that was, Carl, you do what you want to do. It was, I want you to do what I want you to do. That slowed me down somewhat when I actually got to going and everything with Rebecca. That kind of hindered me somewhat. But the bottom line was I did eventually get married after a little over a year. From the time of our first date till we got married was in December, the next December in May. We did get married. He said, I want you to marry who I want you to marry. I'm not interested in anybody else. I want you to marry this particular. And he didn't show me Rebecca at that time. He didn't do that. But he told me what he wanted me to do. So we've got to love him with such a love that if he says do this, we do it. Go here. Well, what about he wants you to go pass the track out to a neighbor. Or maybe he'd want you to say, you know God loves you. Not anything big, so to speak, but just let him know that God loves you, neighbor. The Lord loves you. And then as you gradually work with that neighbor, you could get him to the place where you're maybe giving him a whole scripture. This is what the Lord wants. He wants us to love him enough. We'll do whatever he asks us to do. Go wherever he asks us to go. So he says here, which Jesus answers, first of all, the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, the thing about it is, he's not asking you to love 500 people or 1,000 people or even 50 people. The Lord our God is one Lord. You can center your love on that one individual, just like you would a companion or children or whatever. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And then it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There are none other commandments greater than these. This is the greatest commandment. This is the greatest being, because the whole thing hinges on this right here. It hinges totally on our love for God. That's what's going to get us saved. That's what's going to get us going, so to speak. That's what's going to keep us down through the years. Been through some hard places, done some hard things. But because I loved him enough, I wanted to keep myself saved and living for him. And I would just reach out and beg for mercy. There have been times I've laid in bed and cried and cried. There have been times I've cried at the house. There have been times I've been so hurt that I didn't know hardly what to do. But the Lord never failed to help me when I brought it to him. Here it is, Lord. He spoke to me one time. I was crying after my first wife died. And she was under 60 years old when she died. And I said, Lord, she was so young, so to speak. She wasn't an old woman. The Lord spoke to me and he said, age doesn't matter, child. It's eternity that counts. Age doesn't matter. It's eternity. In other words, the best thing is to be sure you're ready and go on. And I felt like she was ready to go. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. Now this is the end of the what we would call the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. And he said, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So again, the greatest of these is charity. His charity to us, our charity to him.
Yes.
The greatest. It goes beyond anything else. All right, let's go to Matthew 7 and 12. Matthew 7 and 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. All right, it said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then what did it say? And thy neighbor as thyself. Like I said, if these scriptures were obeyed right here, the world would be a lot better place to live in. There wouldn't be people killing one another. There wouldn't be teenagers getting up, a bunch of them, and going in and tearing up a 7-Eleven store or something like that. Or they wouldn't be out there doing things. They're doing the most ridiculous thing because they're living for the devil that you could ask for, and they're making a fool out of themselves. Well, he says here, all things whatsoever that men should do to you, do you even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In other words, what he is saying is do to others like you would have them to do to you. Brother Carl, you just don't quite understand. No, maybe I don't, but he does. And if we treat other people like we want to be treated, this world would be a totally different world. There wouldn't be the fussing and the fighting. There wouldn't be the stabbings and the killings. There wouldn't be the different things that happen because a person wants to get even with somebody instead of loving them and wanting to be treated exactly like I would want to be treated. No, that treatment, like this scripture says, this will take care of all of it right here. It'll take care of every bit of it. All right, let's go to James. James 2 and 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, and also do not kill. Now if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Now he says here, he says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Well, I got a neighbor that's just. No, we need to love that neighbor as ourselves. Love him as ourselves. Lord, help us here now. I'm preaching to me too. I want to love my neighbor as myself and treat him right. Treat him like I would want to be treated. Yes. And then that will bring about a relationship that will work much better than any other relationship. That could bring about a relationship of somebody getting saved, thy neighbor. There was a man and a boy, young man. I don't know, he was a boy particularly. They were handing out tracts. They were passing tracts out, and they were going down the street. They were knocking on doors. And people would open the door, and they'd just offer them a tract. And they would take that tract and read it, hopefully. And then they go to the next one and so forth. Well, they got to one door and it was a lady. Now, you wouldn't think a lady would act this way, but she wasn't nice to them at all. If I remember right, she cussed them out some. She let them have it both barrels. And so the boy looked up at the man after she shut the door and said, well, I guess we won't be coming back to here. He said, yeah, we will too. Fourth visit, she actually asked the men to give him some water or something to drink or something, and she was much more friendly and much warmer. Listen, folks, that's the type we want. We want to treat them in such a way that they'll say, hey, I like that. He's trying to help me. He's trying to bless me. Love my
as thyself.
Every one of us in here want to be treated nicely. Every one of us in here want to be blessed. So love thy neighbor as thyself. God loves you with an everlasting love. You're to love him, and that'll start a relationship that will be a great relationship. And then he said there, he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Yes. Treat him like you want him to be treated. All right, 1 John 4 and 7. 1 John 4 and 7. It said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. Woo! And knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the perpetuation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. His love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. So he said here, he that loveth, no, let us love one another. Let us love one another. Again, this is our neighbor, people in the church, people on the job, whoever it might be, in the family. There's families that don't just really get along too good sometimes. I'm not talking about particularly husband, wife, and children, but maybe the cousins and the aunts and the uncles and so forth don't really get along too good. But the Lord wants us to love them too. He wants us to show them love and kindness. Listen, folks, to be honest with you, the only way that we can break down the hardness and the coldness and the callousness of people is to love them. We've got to show them that love. Give them a gift. Like I said, maybe give them a tract, whatever need to be, but do something to help them to see that you love them. And then do it again and again and again. And that right there can begin to break down something that wasn't even attainable several months ago. I've been married into two different families. First wife was Rebecca. We lived together for almost 30 years. And there was two girls, one at the top, one at the bottom. I married the bottom daughter. There were six boys in between. And some of them, one or two of them died. Let's see, two of them died before I come in the family. So I didn't know all six of them. I only knew four. But I've got along pretty well with all of them. Now then, I'm married into Molly's family, and there was four of them children, two girls, two boys. And I've got along, I believe, well with all of them, showing them love and working with them, doing things with them, and we've had a good relationship. But you know, that's not the way it is with every family. Families don't have that unity and that love and that specialty. Love thy neighbor as thyself is just not there. But the Lord wants it to be there. Yes. And that's how you and I will get people converted and so forth. And one brother-in-law, my Molly's only brother-in-law right now, he sent me a 4th of July deal. That was real, I thought it was real sweet. And then he's done other things. And we've been down there and stayed at their house up till I don't know how many weeks at a time. Because of sickness of the family, we would end up with that person down there and all of us caring for them, getting them and working with them. And one night in his own home, one brother was on his deathbed. He had cancer, different things, and it was taking him out. And I was watching him during the night so the wife and the others could sleep. and getting rest. They would help in the day because sometimes I don't sleep good at night. So I would be up watching him. And so I went down there to him. Well, he called me down and said, "Carl, come here." So I went down there to him. And you know what he told me? He said, "Carl," he said, "I have been praying for God to take me home, and he won't take me home." And I looked at him, I said, "Joe," I said, "God has a time for everybody. It's not your time to go yet." And I kind of looked at that, thought about that. But, see, I was honest with him. I didn't beat around the bush. I just told him, "It's not your time yet. When it's your time, he will take you." I don't exactly know when, but probably within a month, maybe a little over a month, the Lord took him home. Just eased him on out of here and took him to heaven. And he said, "I want to go home. I'm tired. I'm weary." When you get to caring for people and they see that gentleness and that love and that pity and that compassion toward them, that touches, that does something that nothing else will do. And that will help them to reach out to you as you reach out to them. And that will be a blessing for them, be a blessing for you and the family of what you have done for them. So Lord, help us here to love our neighbors, to love our friends, to love our family. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We wouldn't have that love of God if he didn't show us that love. Has he ever dealt with you? Has he ever called you? Has he ever worked with you? There's nothing like it. In 55, nearly 56 years of living for him, he has worked with me. He's treated me. He's answered prayer. He's opened doors. He's held me back. He's done things all down through the years. And I appreciate that. That love, I appreciate it. And he wants us to show that to others. Treat others like God would treat them as best you can. All right, let's finish up in 1 John 3 and 16. 1 John 3 and 16 here. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." Now then, he says here, How by perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods and see his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth? So this love for our neighbor, hinging off the love that we have for God and him for us, should help us to be willing to do for our neighbor, do for our family, do for our friend what we can do. If somebody needs a little bit of money, I've had the Lord down through the years. I've had him to impress me. Maybe I'd be praying about it, or maybe I would know of a situation and I would have him impress me, "I'd like you to do this." Okay. And I do it. Send checks out. Maybe give somebody some money at a meeting or whatever. And give. Help them in the way that they need it. I've had people tell me that's exactly what I needed. I needed that money. Exactly what I sent. There have been times that people have given me donations down through the years. And it was exactly what I needed. There's times they've called me to come pick it up. There's times they brought it to me, mailed it to me, at church give it to me, whatever it might be. But they have been there and given what God impressed. Listen, folks, us doing for others is best guided by the hand of God. God knows every individual's need, no matter who they are, where they are, and He knows exactly how to help us to give exactly the right amount. I've sat down to write a check sometime, and the Lord said, I'd like you to write it for this. Okay, now I hadn't really planned to write it for that, maybe a little bit less. Or I don't know if I've ever had planned to write more and he a little bit less, but I know I have. I was going to give a certain amount, and he said, I want you to give more than that. Okay. Because, folks, the bottom line, he can pay you back that money very easily because he owns everything in the world. Everything belongs to him. So he's got a way of paying us back if we will do what he asks us to do. My first engagement, before we had cell phones, and so I was using my brother-in-law's phone, making long-distance calls to let everybody know, hey, we're engaged. Well, my dear sister-in-law-to-be, she said, Carl, she said, that's going to cost a lot of money. I said, he owns the cattle on Thousand Hills. He owns all the cattle on Thousand Hills. So, yeah, he paid the bill. He always has. So, Lord, help us to do for the people what we can do, whether it be a little bit, whether it be a lot, so to speak. All right, let's finish in 2 Corinthians 2 and 6. 2 Corinthians 2 and 6. And we'll be done. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 2 and 6. If I get these pages turned right, it'll work right. Second Corinthians 2:6-8. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrawise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. Now what had happened is a man had got himself in trouble in the congregation. And the congregation wasn't too happy with him. And he felt that rejection. And so Paul here is writing, he letting them know, said, I want you to confirm your love to him. Don't keep pushing him away, but confirm your love so he will come back. He's already begged forgiveness. He's already been forgiven. Now then it's up to us to help him to get settled into a good warm place. It said, contrawise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Now, if we don't do that, we're going to be hurting the situation. But it said, to confirm your love toward him. I like that. Yes. Wherefore, I beseech you that you should confirm your love. Let him know I love you. Have you ever told each other that you love them? Well, Carl, that's for husband and wife. No, not really. There's ministers out there that you could say, I love you. And there's young people. And everybody, just let them know that I love you. We want to have you around. Yes. We're not wanting to push you out the door. We're wanting to bring you in, wanting to keep you around for a while, keep you around where you can be blessed of God. Just confirm that love. Just let them know that we thank you. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for where you're at. And we're now confirming our love in such a way that it will help them stay in the place. We appreciate your time and attention. We desire your prayers.